Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited-edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Hi guys. Can someone explain in the absolute simplest possible terms? Can we find out what the R rate is? Because I haven't had it explained to me anywhere near enough times on the news yet. Can anyone tell me? Sorry. What's the R rate?
What is the R rate?
Hello, I'm that funny one off of Newsnight with the slightly arch presentation, slightly naughty boy haircut, rather red lips, as if I've just been kissing before I came on air, looking at you first with my head turned slightly this way, now with my head turned slightly this way. And it's all about the R rate. Now, that R stands for rate. That's the rate of infection. Now, this currently stands at, oh, look at me. Oh, I'm a naughty boy. Oh, look. Oh, finger in mouth. Oh, weirdly sensual.
I'm Hugh Pym, and I haven't really had a day off, have I? The key thing here is the R rate. That stands for reproduction, and it's the way you measure how contagious.
Tell me what the R rate is! Tell me what the R rate is! Tell me what the R rate is! Tell me what the R rate is!
It's R for rotten. Nice. Wait, is it the Audi R rate?
What's the R rate? Well, what's the R rate? I'd really like to know what the R rate is. Does it stand for R. Kelly? Also, where's the bread?
Oh, Jake,
can you tell me where the bread is right now?
Oh, no.
Where's the bread?
Jake doesn't know what the R rate is. What?
I'd really like a piece of bread.
Jake, the R rate.
Yes, I know what the R rate is! Every 15 minutes, every day, for 58 days. I know what the R rate is.
Yop. Yop to you. A very yoppy morning. Theories have abounded. I've been meaning to do this for days. Your ideas of what the R rate is and what does that stand for? Hashtag, what is the R rate? If you want to join in. Mushy Bees said, I believe it to be the number of pirates required to charm a member of the Johnny Depp fan club down from out of a tree. They just can't help themselves, the cheekbone-worshipping scamps. Yeah, but here's the thing with Johnny Depp. Like, his skin looks so infused with nicotine. You know what I mean? Like, yes, the cute cheekbones, but the guy's turning himself into human pemmican. Like, he's just jerky. I mean, I quite like vegan jerky, but... Darren says, the R rate is the rate of reproduction. Reproduction of rabbits. Oh. And Lee, that one, not the other one, says, I thought it was the number of kittens needed to make my wife's voice rise an octave. Julie on the live stream has observed people use Johnny Depp's skin as nicotine patches. Yes, if Johnny Depp were to, say, lie on top of you for, say, a minute, that would be a year's worth supply of nicotine. Something to bear in mind. David Brazel says the R rate is, of course, the number of times per minute I shout, ah! While watching a government briefing. And what is that R? It's probably quite high, I would think. I think it's probably over one. And Jack observed similarly, isn't it how you feel when the R rate is explained? Again, we get it! We know what the R rate is! I will leave the last word on this, though, to Martin with an I, not a Y. He says, R rate is how people in the Northwest ask if someone's okay. R-rate. I bet you do that now, listening at home. You have to say it, R-rate, don't you? Of course you do.
The world is a great big Jaffa cake. Some people don't like it, others do. Either way, it's okay. All you've got to say is not today.
In a second, we're going to have the inaugural Not Today Thank You Top Trumps round. I don't really know how this is going to work. I don't know. But it was Neil's idea. And then I think Pablo made a template and it's people have filled them out, which looks very time consuming. I had to sign a document online, yesterday. And it's very stressful. So I appreciate how hard it was to fill out those cards. Thank you for doing that. That's above and beyond. But first, I've come up with a new sort of phrase, which is microfaffing. I mean, it sort of slightly rhymes with that, but it's got some T's and W's and T's in there. I didn't know if I could say that. I think you can. But I'm going to say microfaffing for the purpose of this podcast, which is sort of just when you start getting involved in some tiny bit of minutiae that's not part of the big picture and you waste a lot of time on it. For example, when you're trying to sort out a vocoder for no reason whatsoever on a podcast that you're doing. Microfaffing, something I've been doing a fair amount of just lately. Anyway, let's do some of the Top Trumps business then.
Top Trumps!
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take two each day. I'm going to play them against each other. And whichever one wins, I'm going to move on to a round two that'll happen at some point, I guess, next week at this stage. Jem, listener Jem. This is Not Today, Thank You. Listener, Top Trumps Jem from Portishead, the town, not the band. Now, let's just go through the cast. Very sweet picture of little Jem when he was, I would say, about 7. He looks very sweet. He hasn't changed. Right, strength, limited. Height, 1 times the standard Holmes. I'm guessing that's John Holmes estimated. Agility, 3rd place in the under-6s monkey race, 1985. Talent, finding years of fun. Literally years of fun in the word artisanal. And that's how you pronounce it. Artisanal. And saying, fancy a cup of tea? Okay, so that's the SHATS index. Strength, height, agility, talent, saying. What's your SHATS? And we're going to put Jem up against Wild Nat. Now, what are we going to go for? We're going to go for... I'll go for agility. I think 3rd place in the under-6s monkey race is not bad going in 1985. So let's have a look at Wild Nat's card. Agility, working, 9. At home, -5. Now, where do we place that? I mean, how do you trade those off? Let's average out the agility then. David Alt's gonna, the temples are gonna burst open listening to me staggering through this one. So it's like 14. So it's like 2. About 2 is your standard agility there, Nat. Your average. I'm imagining David Alt at home going, it's the mean! It's the median! I don't know. Don't care. So I'm going to say 3rd place versus 2. I mean, maybe, I think Nat has it. I'm sorry, Jem. Sorry about that. Let's have a look at the rest of Nat's stats, Shat stats. Strength, likes tea and coffee, black and sugarless, but won't complain if you put either in. That's a good strength. Height, 190 Jaffa cakes. Talent, can consume multiple boxes of Ferrero Rocher in one sitting. Wow. That's good going. And saying is... Oh, go on then, just one more. Okay, well, Nat goes on then to play tomorrow against Lee, I think. We'll do that tomorrow, and maybe I'll do a jingle. I'm just a bit sleepy and tired now. Can't do much more. I've got a nice thing to end the show on, which is very cute.
and I think you'll enjoy it. But let's have a quick look at some of your emails, shall we? Ollie says, hi, Jake. After I offered to do Carenza's laundry, Ollie, it dawned on me that I could do all kinds of odd jobs for people. The odder the better, Ollie. Just let me know what you need doing, and instead of beating yourself up for procrastinating, you can call me all the blue sailors of the day for not doing it instead. Oh, what a great idea! He says, it's wonderful having someone to blame for your own shortcomings. I'll gladly step up to be that guy. Ollie, that's brilliant! So you can be the odd job man, not doing all those odd jobs that need to... Ollie! You still haven't painted the outside windows frames. What is wrong with you? If anyone wants to berate Ollie for anything that they haven't done, feel free. It's at nottodaypod or nottoday@swanburst.com. LindsayHellcatPress.com says, hi, Jake. And this is, are you in Texas? Am I right in thinking that? My husband and I were recently talking about the movies we grew up with. 90s movies. All right, you don't have that brag about it. You weren't breaking. Kids' movies in the 90s fit into four main categories. Sports movies, wacky animal movies, orphan movies, and ninja movies. Oh my God, you're right. All four genres are problematic for a variety of different reasons. I have a special hatred of sports movies because whenever we had family movie night, my younger brother always got to pick the movie and he'd always pick a sports movie. Sport, man! Ugh! Sports movies always feature a ragtag band of misfits who learn the value of teamwork and win the big game. Oh, how tedious. I've never seen... The only sport movie I've ever seen is Dodgeball, I think. There's always a token female character who starts the film as an athletic, rough-and-tumble tomboy, but during the second act, she develops a crush on the male lead and instantly transforms into a girly girl who pretty much abandons sports by the end of the film. Oh, man. Wacky animal movies always featured a child who befriends an animal and then shenanigans ensue. These movies are problematic because I'm 100% sure that most of the animals were being mistreated behind the scenes. Sometimes the movie wouldn't have a child character, like the Homeward Bound movies, and would solely focus on the cute animal. I mean, in those days, you know, staple gun and a few bonios, and you were away. Orphan movies were wildly popular in the 90s. In these films, the main character was a plucky little orphan who, despite having no one to care for him or her, was clean, well-fed, clothed, and lived in a really cool tree fort that somehow had electricity and running water. The main character usually had a dog, and both the child and dog would be adopted by loving parents after a series of wacky and light-hearted hijinks. I think you mean shenanigans. Lastly, we have ninja movies, wherein a little white kid would learn karate from an elderly Asian man. I put karate in quotes because there's no way those are actual martial arts moves. There was also plenty of overlap, like Air Bud, which was about a mistreated orphan dog that is adopted by a child and then learns to play basketball. No, really, that's the plot. There was also Angels in the Outfield, wherein a child becomes convinced that if a baseball team, the Angels, win the pennant, his deadbeat dad will take him out of foster care. Oh my God. The child prays for a miracle, and then a bunch of actual angels show up to help the baseball team win. The boy's father straight up abandons him, but he's adopted by the team's manager, so it's all okay in the end. These movies are straight up horrifying, and I will not be letting my daughter watch any of them. Wow! Lindsay, those are brilliant. What a fantastic distillation of a decade of children's movie making. And yes, they were all awful, weren't they? Terrible. We should probably do... I've invoked David Ault, and we should probably look at the results for the food fight. What are the most hated foods? He's got the rundown for the rest of the week now. So these are the things that came through from the earlier heats, and do heat them through earlier in the week. Thursday, quarterfinal one, we have oysters, haggis, and quiche. Oh my. And quarterfinal two, celery, snails, and licorice. Ready, steady, cook! Wow, oysters, haggis, and quiche, celery, snails, and licorice. It's quite hard to choose there, actually. I think we're distilling quite well. On Friday, we'll have quarterfinal three, mushrooms, shellfish, and liver/kidney. And in quarterfinal four, with the highest scoring losers, olives, Turkish delight, and tomatoes. Oh, hang on, hang, ho, 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 ho! Those are all fine. Semi-final and final to be held over the weekend, so you can have a winner for Monday morning's podcast. Oh, thank you so much, David. It's David from Yorkshire, the county, not the pudding. Brilliant. I've got terrible hay fever this morning. David Brazel says, your talk of biographies sent a shiver through me. Oh, yes, Pat was saying we should do little autobiographies about ourselves. He says, I often have to write biographies for poetry things, competitions and so on, and they always feel so awkward and cringeworthy. Yes! Have you ever had to write about yourself in the third person for a thing? Jake Yap is a writer, comedian and broadcaster, and he blah, 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 and refers to himself in the third person, and it feels completely natural. So, David says, here's what I plan to submit from now on. David Brazel is a writer, poet, and spoken word performer who enjoys talking about himself in the third person. Yes! Believing it adds gravitas to a list of otherwise unimpressive achievements. A natural-born athlete, in 2018, David fully dislocated his own kneecap while walking across his living room. Oh my God, is that true? Despite no one asking him, David has been working on his debut poetry collection since 1968. His hobbies include puns, cynicism, and misunderstanding for comic effect. David lives in Northern Ireland with a sore knee. That's great, David. Yes, I like a nice third-person biog. That's really great. Thank you so much for that. And thank you very much indeed for everything you've sent in. Gosh, I did not get to all of your tweets and stuff over the last 24 hours. So much and so... so copious were they, but I'm going to leave you with this. It's so lovely. So much talk about how to pronounce Wednesday and raspberry and strawberry. And Pablo, I think, has the last word here, or certainly his son Ben does. It is, of course, pronounced waspberry, as you will now find out in this very cute exchange between his kids. Enjoy it. It's very adorable. And I will see you tomorrow. Bye. I need to blow my nose.
Ben?
Yeah?
Where's the treasure chest? Where the baby was in?
Why is he doing that? What's wrong with his head?
What reason I had raspberry on my head?
Oh.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.